بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tune into Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahe, on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, DSTB 826, and simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Our topic today, something that's very, very close to my heart, something that we tend to often forget, and we don't realize that the survivors are so inspirational. On the 15th of February is International Childhood Cancer Awareness. And cancer is a topic that many people still seem to have the shivers when they hear the so-called C word. Now, when I say that this is a topic that's very close to my heart, when I was 12 years old, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. And through my adolescent years, my younger brother and I, and obviously my dad, the rest of my siblings, went through the motions with my mum as she went through her treatment period. She had radiation, she underwent surgery, and there were good days, there were bad days, there were hard days, there were sad days, and there were magical days. And when I say magical days, when it comes to patients who have cancer, there are days when you are so down and out, when you cannot even lift your head up from the bed. And there are days where you wake up and you have the energy to take on the world. The Almighty has been so good to me, subhanAllah, that He has granted my mother complete shifa, mashallah. She's perfectly healthy, still with me, subhanAllah. And I pray to Allah that the Almighty grants her many, many, many more years, inshallah, with the best of health. And to all the people who are suffering from cancer and any other ailments, our dua is that the Almighty grants you complete shifa. When it comes to children who are suffering from cancer, childhood cancer is very different to adult cancers, but the journey is very, very much the same. And the purpose of our show today is obviously to discuss childhood cancer awareness and to remove any ignorance that people may still have as to the causes of cancer, and to empower people and educate our listeners on how to show empathy towards cancer sufferers and how we can help to make their lives better. Because remember, whatever challenges that we have ultimately is a test from the Almighty. So I'm very honored to have with me in studio today, I can't even say survivor, because she's a survivor, she is amazing, she is so inspirational. I'm speaking to Zukisa Mukwevo, who is the Regional Program Director,
Coordinator
from CHOC. And CHOC is the Childhood Cancer Foundation of South Africa. And she's going to be telling us about childhood cancer awareness, the International Childhood Cancer Awareness Program, and more importantly, Zuki is a childhood cancer survivor. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My hero.
Thank you very much for inviting us. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
Okay, now, like I said, you're my hero. You are so inspiring. Please tell us about your journey, if you'd like to share with us the cancer that you were diagnosed with and how it led you to do what you're doing today.
Good morning to the listeners. I was diagnosed at the age of 12 with CML, which is chronic myeloid leukemia, in 1995. And I didn't know anything about cancer or anything. Even my parents didn't know anything about cancer. I went to about 3-4 surgeries to see doctors and to go and check what was happening with me, but only to find that no one could identify what was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Up until I went to another GP, whereby the GP was able to recognize, but was not really sure, but was able to refer me to another doctor to say, can they please just check what he sees, is it correct? So when I went there to the other GP, then the other GP told me, no, I have to go to be admitted at the hospital. So my nearest hospital was Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital, because I was in around Soweto. So I went to Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital, and I was treated there for leukemia. I was treated with chemotherapy, all the treatments that you get, your chemotherapy, your radiation, and then I was on maintenance treatment, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I was on maintenance treatment, and after the maintenance treatment, I was on remission. So when I was in remission for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 1 year, 6 months. So after that remission, I went back to my doctor to do a checkup, a routine checkup, and when I got there, I had to do another bone marrow, meaning that they saw something in my blood, but they were not sure. So I had to do another bone marrow to check if there was anything wrong.
Yes.
So I had to go back home, and then I went back home, the results came back, and then I had relapsed.
Oh no.
So the cancer came back. So mm-hmm. it was because of this was a long journey, because if it took me 3 years to finish my protocol therapy treatment, so to go to another treatment again, it was like I can't go back there anymore.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was losing hope. Like I can't go back to the hospital because of I've been through this journey for like 3 years. I couldn't attend school properly, and now I have to go back again to the hospital to get treatment. So it was like a huge challenge for me. But I had to go back to the hospital because of now I had like a few treatments that I needed to do. But when I relapsed, there was no hope at all, because it was a remission, and I relapsed, and I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia,
mm-hmm.
now times two. So from CML, I went to ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia times two. And with treatment-wise, there was no like much treatment to be given to me. So I had five options, whereby four options, it was like palliative treatment, where mm-hmm. you calm down your pain and everything. And the other treatment, it was 50-50. You're not really sure if the chemotherapy will work or not. But I had to go at home and discuss with my family, sit down with my family and see whether we choose the palliative or we choose the chemotherapy.
And all of this, you were 15 years old?
Yeah.
15 years old at the time, and you were faced with all of these options which looked like they had no hope.
Yes. So I decided let's try the 50-50 and let's see, because of the other four is just palliative, it's coming down the pain, and let's see what would happen with this treatment. So I went back and readmitted again to the hospital, had a insertion of I had a Hickman line before, mm-hmm. so that they don't keep on pricking me with treat when I have to get chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a Hickman line, so I had to go and put a Hickman line and then start the treatment. So I started the journey of the treatment again, and then I was in grade 11 by then.
Yes, yes.
It was very difficult. You're in high school and grade 11, you're about to say, hey, next year I'm going to grade 12.
Yes.
You're so excited now. Yeah, it's like
balancing,
your dreams are gone.
And balancing your education and your treatment and your life, what was that like?
It was a bit difficult. It was a bit difficult because of when I was diagnosed, I was in grade 7. I was in grade 7, and the following year going to grade 8. But it was a bit difficult because of going back to school as well. It was a bit challenge because when I went back to school, I had to start now with high school, and I was still, my hair went off, I'm bald, I'm a girl.
Yes.
Going to school, I had to put my hoodie on mm-hmm. every time, and it's so hot, it's summer, and students don't understand sometimes why, and then I had to put my hat on every time. So there was one day that I had embarrassment at school.
Yes.
And I was sitting in class, and the teacher was out, and then the kids were making noise and everything, and then somebody behind me, I didn't see it because of I was focusing on my books and everything, so just pulled off my hat.
Oh, no.
And everyone laughed in class, and it was the most embarrassing. I had to cry and went out, and the teacher had to come in and say, do you know why is she wearing a hat? They said, no, we don't. I said, let me explain to you. You normally see her. She's not here at school sometimes. She's sick, and she's got cancer. That's when everyone knew that I had cancer, but it was not like a nice thing. Like,
obviously, I mean, you're so young, and you're you going through puberty and adolescence, and you have that wanting to fit in, and now you have this added judgment because people didn't know.
Yeah.
But my darling, today, that is the aim of our show, that we're going to clear all misconceptions on childhood cancers and empower our listeners on the types of cancers that are there for children, early warning signs, and what we can do to remove the stigma related to childhood cancer. But you are fantastic, and we applaud you, and we pray that the Almighty bless you with a long, happy, healthy, successful life.
Thank you.
To continue doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Your involvement with CHOC.
Okay. With my involvement with CHOC, CHOC Childhood Cancer Foundation, because of being there with the kids at the hospital most of the time and being a patient and being a survivor, I was my involvement with being a survivor with them. So CHOC does a great job for the hospitals, attending to the kids and everything. So it was, I think, God put me there for a reason.
Yeah.
And I always say it's by God's grace that I'm still alive, and the other kids seeing me and the parents, and we giving them hope, you know, like getting there with those kids. If they see you, you give them that strength to say, I want to be like Zuki. And sometimes you see when you're walking around the hospital, and as a project coordinator, we're working around giving them, speaking to the parents and giving them care bags, because we do care bags. Mm-hmm. There's a project that we do, they're giving care bags for their children, because of sometimes the parents come from far, and when they come from other referral hospitals, when they get to our hospital, then they don't have anything, the face cloth or soap or anything. So CHOC provides them with care bags as well to support the children, so that when they come in, so when you speak to them, and then maybe you went out, and then one nurse will come through and say to their parent, you see that lady there, she's a survivor, and they're like, huh? They can't believe it, because of the way I am. They were like, no, you're telling a lie. They said, no, you can go and speak to her and find out. She can tell you more. So it's sometimes, and then they'll tell their kids and say, you see that lady, she has fought cancer and everything. So it's a huge challenge, but with CHOC support, it does amazing things throughout the regions, because of all our regions. We have houses. We've got CHOC houses in all of eight regions, which is the Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal. Not Northwest, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's KZN, Mpumalanga, it's Western Cape. In PE, we've got. And Free State, Bloemfontein, we've got the regions that side. So all the regions whereby they are hospitals, like the oncology,
special institutes. And CHOC is a non-profit organization. I mean, the Childhood Cancer Foundation of South Africa.
Yes, it is a non-profit organization. We rely on donations that we get, and the support that we've got. And then we've got the merchandise that we also sell to people
to raise
funds and everything. And we've got the support of the cows, which is they're part of the CHOC as well, that raise funds for us as well.
Yes.
So, but CHOC does
phenomenal work.
So,
if you could please take us through some, you know, of the childhood cancers, and you know, the common of the childhood cancers and the signs and symptoms to look out for. You know, many people are familiar with leukemia and brain and spinal cord tumors, but something, you know, can you just tell us some more?
I'm not going to be like a doctor or anything, because I'm not a doctor or anything, but they come, like, you've got different types of cancers. Like when I said I had a CML, which is a chronic myeloid leukemia, and you've got your ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And because of, we've got the early warning signs, but those signs don't really say that when we go do awareness outside to the communities, because we go out to communities and churches and schools as well to do awareness, and we give those warning signs to the school kids, to the church members. So we don't really say that when you see that symptom, like we're saying that you've got cancer.
Yes.
So this is the warning sign that we have, which is, it's called the Saint Suluan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saint Suluan comes from the, it was a Russian monk who died on the Mount Athos in 1938.
Mm-hmm.
And then he prayed seriously for the sick people. So one of our doctors took a sabbatical leave to go and teach people about the warning signs. And then with that saying Siluan, he got that, with that saying Siluan, we can use the words Siluan to do this, the warning signs.
The warning signs.
So we're using the Siluan for our warning signs, which is S, it's for sick. So S stands for sick. You seek medical help for persistent symptoms. Every time when you see that this thing is persistent, you need to seek a medical help.
Mm-hmm.
And then which I stands for an eye, where, but with a siluan because of its like eye,
mm-hmm.
but we take it as an eye, your eyes. So with an eye, if you see a white spot in an eye,
mm-hmm.
you need to go and seek medical help. And you squint, you need to seek medical help because of an old squint. If a child is born with a new squint, they were able to fix it. But if your child was not didn't have any squint or anything, was normal and now tend to a squint, you need to really go and check it out.
Investigate it.
Yeah, and then a new blindness as well with the eye, a new blindness, you need to check it out. And then the bulging eye, you need to also you need to go to see your doctor. And then we've got the letter L, which stands for a lump. So any lump needs to be checked, and no lump needs to be pierced or anything, because of most of us South African people, especially us black people, when we see something, a lump, we normally go to the traditional healers, and we go, and then the traditional healer will just cut that lump. So in no lump needs to be cut, you need to go and see a doctor. But then fortunately the Chuck as well is working together with the traditional healers nowadays. They've done training with the traditional healers for about maybe I think now they're on 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
Sometimes people would, you know, assume this lump is something sinister, where it's actually a sign from your body that something is not medically correct.
Whether it's a head or pelvis,
yes.
neck, limbs, testes and glands.
Yes.
So it needs to be checked out as well. So it's just you go to your GP or you go to your nearest clinic to be checked
and
out.
And they'll do a biopsy and do further testing.
To further testing.
Yes.
And then we've got the letter U. So U stands for unexplained. So any unexplained fever, prolonged fever, which is takes about 2 weeks, it needs to be checked out.
Mm-hmm.
We know that sometimes people will think that it's TB or whatever, but sometimes you need to go and check it out. And then loss of weight, and then pallor, if you're pale, becoming pale as well. And then if a child becomes fatigue, most of the time, some of them, and then getting easy bruising as well. So you need to check it out. And sometimes, normally, when I do my awareness, because of my, when I started with my symptoms, I had nosebleeds. So people sometimes will say, no, because of it's too hot and everything, why my child has got a bleeding and everything. So because of, I didn't know as well, even my mother didn't notice that, because she thought it was because of the heat. So sometimes when I do awareness, I really go and say, please look out for nosebleeds as well, because of
frequent nosebleeds.
You must check how many times and everything. Sometimes you just need to check it out, because of, it was one of my symptoms when I was
diagnosed.
Yeah, it was one of my symptoms. And then the next one, it's aching. So any aching bones, joints, back, and easy fractures. Normally would say that no child should complain of back aches because of their children. No. So if a child starts to complain about back aches, you need to really check it out to say, why is she having a backache? Because of normally. But I went to one school one day, and I asked them if do children have back aches? And they all go and yes, yes. I'm like, how? He said, no, because of our books.
All the text books.
Because of our books. I said, oh, no. He said, besides that. He said, no. So sometimes the kids would say, no, I'm complaining of that. And you would say, no, you're complaining because you don't want to go to school with your mother. And you would, so you should look out for that. And then the last one, which is N, stands for, it's a big word, neurological. So it works with your brains and everything. So any change or deterioration in the child in walking, and then any balance of speech, oscillate speech, that you need to check it out as well. And then regression of milestones of the child, you need to check it out. And then headaches for more than 2 weeks, because no child needs to have a headache for more than 2 weeks.
For such a long time.
And then And then if there's a headache whereby there's a child who just vomits, and then from just each week, so you need to check it out. If the child, the headache has got the vomiting inside it, so you need to go and check out those signs.
So those are like early warning signs, because if they're happening too frequently, then obviously there needs to be some medical investigation.
They need to seek medication. They need to seek. So if anyone can see those symptoms and everything, we're not saying that it is, but we need you to go out there and check it out. And if you can't find, like, you keep on persisting to the doctor to say, if your doctor can't help you, you are able to ask for a referral to say, can you kindly refer me to this? Because if I've heard this maybe on the Radio Islam, on the warning signs, and I'm a bit worried, can you kindly refer me to maybe to an oncology department or anything? But we've got a toll-free number, which is, we give it out, which is 0800. 333-555.
Please repeat that. What?
It's 0800-333-555. So it works Monday to Friday, from 8 to 4. So if you see any symptoms that you feel not comfortable with, and you feel that your GP is not helping you, and then maybe you would like to find out more, you can call the toll-free number, and then maybe one of the doctors will be able to assist you, whether you can bring your child in or anything that they need to check.
And they'll just do their assessment.
Yes, they'll do their assessment.
Okay, my darling, we're going to break for an ad, and we're going to return shortly. After the ad break, we are going to open the lines on 011-854-1548, and you're welcome to call us if you are a childhood cancer survivor. If you're a parent of a child that is battling with cancer right now, please, we'd like to hear from you. Inshallah, please stay tuned. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. Today we're talking about the International Childhood Cancer Awareness Program that will be on the 15th of February. In studio with me, I have Sukisa Mokwevo, who is part of the Childhood Cancer Foundation of South Africa, more commonly known as CHOC. Now, this initiative is a global collaborative campaign to raise awareness about childhood cancer and to express support for children and teenagers with cancer, as well as support for survivors and their families. And just before the break, we were talking to Zuki, she's commonly known as Zuki, about her experience as a childhood cancer survivor. We spoke about common symptoms that parents should just look out for, you know, if you see any abnormalities, what you need to do. And we're just going to talk a little bit more about common childhood cancers, if you could just tell us more about that.
The common modes, childhood cancers, they differ, as I said before. The common ones will be leukemia, as people know, but we've got other ones, which are retinoblastomas, which the cancer of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your brain tumors as well, and you've got your lymphomas. So the most commonly, but I would say it's leukemia, but the people know mostly it's truly leukemia, and that's the worst people that are scared of. When once you hear the name leukemia as well, they would think it's the cancer of the blood and my child would die. So because of when you start going out telling people that your child's got leukemia, there's one thing that they think in their mind, that the child's going to die, but there are treatments out there to assist.
Treatments that are available. We also ask our listeners to call us on 011-854-1548 if you are a childhood cancer survivor. We'd like to hear your story. You never know who you could inspire. If you are a parent of a child who is currently battling with cancer, we'd like to know about your journey, because your journey can inspire other people who are in the situation as well. We also would like to know from you, please, Zuki, if you could just, you know, talk a little bit about the risk factors and the causes of childhood cancer. You know, sometimes, you know, you'd get people who would assume that if you've had a sibling who has had cancer, or a parent, automatically you're going to get it. Sometimes, you know, out of ignorance also, you get some people that still have this misconception that if you have cancer, you are bewitched, you are being punished.
Yeah.
So we obviously need to clear these misconceptions, because ultimately, you know, whatever test that you have comes from the Almighty.
Yeah. Well, we deal with all the myths all the time.
Yes, all the myths.
So It's not true, because of if like me myself as being a survivor, I didn't get anyone from my family had no cancer or anything, and as I sit here today with you, I'm a mother of a 6-year-old girl, which is healthy and everything, and she's fine. So I wouldn't say that she would get cancer or anything, but it's because of when you get to the hospital as well, they do a history check on whether you had anyone in your family with cancer and everything, because of they're still searching to try and find out where does this cancer come from, because it's been years, and before black people used to say it's a white man's disease, and they still believe in that, because of they still think that when the child's been diagnosed with cancer, they will come and say, no, my child is bewitched. So which is it's a myth that it's not like that. So
it can happen to anybody.
It can happen to anyone, whether you're an adult, a child, it can happen to anyone. Even in a little baby of a 2-year-old, you find that baby, a newborn baby, you find that there's something wrong with the child, a newborn baby. So where did she get that from? Yes. And the mother, it doesn't even have cancer. So it's not like...
There's a lot of research going into the condition.
Yes.
And then also with regards to the patients that you take in at that are at the hospital, at CHOC, survival rate, because, you know, often they say children, because of the early warning signs, and because treatment is given, you know, because of the early warning signs and going into treatment as soon as possible, the survival rate is much greater.
The survival rate at the moment, it's much better compared to the years previously, like before, because of we going out now doing the early warning signs and letting people know. The hospitals, we know the doctors go and train the other doctors that like from Northwest, and so that most of the patients will come, and then you find that they are misdiagnosed or anything like. So they go and train the nurses, the doctors, they train everyone actually, even the traditional healers, because African people will first go to the traditional healer before they go to the state hospitals. So we try to train the traditional healers, although some of them they believe in them, but you train them to say, yes, we know some of the things you are able to treat, but if you see that this I can't really, please refer the patient
medical help. And Zuki, what are the treatments available for children at the CHOC hospitals that are based around the country?
The treatment that they receive, it's all there. It depends on the protocol, because the doctors work with the protocol.
Yes.
But mostly they get the chemotherapy, the radiation, and then it's just being on maintenance and the tablets that normally they get from the doctor. So it's all included. And so it depends on the protocol, what patient needs, which type of treatment that they need, and then which diagnosis they're being diagnosed with. So they go according to the diagnosis, actually. For the treatment.
Now, for patients, you know, for children that are suffering with cancer, I'm sure diet is very, very important.
Yeah.
And also, the resistance is very low. You know, you have your high days, your low
days,
your emotional days.
Yeah.
What would be your advice that you would give to parents and caregivers of patients of cancer, the children that are patients?
I would say that they need to eat healthy, and just to eat healthy, there's not to. But some of them, they feel like sometimes, you know, when kids are in hospital sometimes, they feel like they miss home food and everything. You do get that. So because of sometimes they get this food from the hospital being given, they feel like, oh, this is ugly, it's not nice and everything. And sometimes they like want to have, but we almost encourage the kids like to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they allow them to eat. Sometimes we give them a treat to eat, like sweets or anything like that.
They're
kids after all, so they're allowed to have any treat sometimes, but not always, but they need to look out for their diet as well.
Yeah, definitely. And then when children are in remission as well, you know, there's obviously, you know, what support do you offer to parents out there whose children have been to CHOC or any other facility and the children are in remission, and just to ensure that their child's well-being is taken care of?
At the moment, we're having the projects that we're doing with the parents. We're doing projects with parents whereby we're doing the like baking skills and cooking skills for them as well, so that to be able to
to
get them busy. And now we're looking at doing a project of doing a food gardening to grow their own vegetables as well, because of some of them they come from a poor backgrounds and they don't have anything to buy those vegetables.
So
now we like looking for somebody who can offer their work for free to say to show us how to grow our own vegetables.
Now these now you're talking about the children that are still at the hospital, but they're in remission.
Yeah.
Okay. But now to our listeners out there who maybe their children are obviously going to other facilities for treatment, what sort of support does your organization offer to them, to other parents out there who are listening, whose children have been diagnosed? What would you say to them? From you yourself being a survivor, for you yourself being a parent, for you who work with ill children every day and you're meeting parents, what would you tell our listeners out there?
For our listeners out there with who have children with who have survived cancer, I would say let's just encourage our children to be out there, support other kids as well, because if we need, I forgot to mention that we've got a group called Solid.
Yes.
It's a survivors group whereby we meet as survivors to support each other as well, and then giving back to the hospital as well to support those kids who are still the newly diagnosed patients, and we support each other as well. Mm-hmm. So with the parents, we would like to say to the kids as well, that let them keep on fighting the fight, because of it's a long journey being a survivor.
Yeah.
Because of sometimes some of them they wouldn't want to give back to even though to the hospital to say, I don't want to go back there, it will remind me of my previous years and everything. I would like to say to them, as a survivor, be strong, keep on supporting other kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to the parents, you know, it's a great job that you did.
Yeah,
it's a great job that we need to say to your mom, like tap her to say, mom, thank you for all the support with your family as well. So say, thank you for the support that you've given me through all the journey that I've been through. And don't forget as well to thank God all the time, because sometimes it's by grace that we're still alive. And
absolutely. And also your advice to parents, you know, whose children are ill. You know, it can be very difficult. Sometimes parents say, what did I do? Did I do something wrong?
No.
Why is my child ill? It can be taxing, because, you know, I know with treatment, you know, when it comes to chemotherapy or radiation therapy, it's not a once-off.
Yeah.
You'll be doing it for months or weeks on end, and then there could be remission periods. So for parents and caregivers, it's also challenging.
It's a huge challenge. It's a very huge challenge. And we're doing this supporting skills, and we're doing this. We try to combine the parents, all of them, to say to support each other, and maybe to communicate to each other by like coming to sit to meetings and sit, and then we discuss and see we're having their different challenges, discussing their different challenges of what my challenge at the moment, our children are diagnosed with different types of
cancers. Yes.
So I'll come with my challenge, and I'll bring my other challenge, and we can sit and discuss it and see if we can get
in some commonality. Generally, from what age does CHOC admit children?
The CHOC admits children from birth till the age of, because of our hospitals, Charlotte takes up until I think the age of 16, if I'm not mistaken, and then Baragwanath, they take up until the age of 18.
Yes.
So we support from birth to 18.
Okay, and it's all the medical treatment that's available there. Is it for free? I mean, when it comes to the chemotherapies and the medication and the radiation therapy.
Okay. I'm not going to say with the chemotherapy. I know because of chemotherapy, it's so expensive and everything. So they get treatment from the state hospitals, but then for the patients that go privately, I think they have to go and pay for their treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the state hospitals, you're able to get your treatment, and then you pay for your bill for your admissions and all this, and whatever treatment that you're gonna get, like your tablets and everything. But for chemotherapy, because of it's so expensive, not really sure. But I think the states,
Now, I need to ask you something, Zuki. You know, when we just started the show, you mentioned the one day when you were at school while you were getting treatment for your leukemia, and, you know, the boy was very naughty and he took your hoodie off, and everyone saw that you lost your hair. And I can only imagine how you must have felt as a teenager. And to if any of our listeners out there, you know, you are going through, you know, chemotherapy or radiation therapy, and, you know, you may be losing your hair, I know it's not an easy feeling. I know it's very difficult. Like I said, you know, I grew up with a mom who was with a breast cancer survivor, but I know it was challenging. What would you like to say to those children, to a friend, what do you wish that your friend would have done for you when you were going through cancer? What support do you wish that your siblings, your peers gave to you?
I needed to them to support any child with cancer. Cancer is not contagious or anything. Just support your friend, give them the love that they need, and the hug.
Exactly, they would need it. I think we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam.
Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Humaira Kika.
How are you, Humaira?
Alhamdulillah, I'm 10 years old. And 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, madam, but my darling, I can hear from your voice, you sound like a fighter, you sound like a survivor, and you are going to be better sooner than soon, inshallah.
I'm already in remission for 4 months.
Alhamdulillah. Suki, would you like to say something to Humaira?
Hi, Humaira.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm fine, thanks. No, you fight the battle, and I'm so pleased to hear that you're in remission for like 4 months now already. The battle you have fought, I'm so grateful. I'm very blessed.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Our duas are with you, and you are going to be perfectly fine, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And tell your parents that we're going to make lots and lots of dua for you. And just remember, you are a hero. You are our hero. You are our little star. Jazakumallah khairan for your call. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners?
I would just tell all children with cancer to be strong and never give up.
Never give up. That's brilliant advice. Where are you from, Humaira?
I'm from Mayfair.
You're calling us from Mayfair. Okay. You carry on being the bright, shining star that you are. And may Allah grant you complete shifa, okay?
Inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen. Thank you so much for your call. Look at this. 12-year-old with so much of energy, so much of enthusiasm, and she's going to fight this. She's going to beat this.
Yeah, she's going to beat this. Yeah, she reminds me of me being 12, at the age of 12.
Yes.
She's 10, I was 12. So.
And like you're saying, you wish that your friends, what do you wish they would have offered you?
Lots of support, a hug. We need a hug sometimes. Don't ask too many questions because sometimes you don't even feel like talking. But when you get up that hug, it means a lot. So that hug, it means a lot to a child with cancer. Just giving them that love that they need, you know, because sometimes you really don't want to be there talking to anyone. You're so dull and everything. So, but if somebody just gives you that hug and to show their love,
that's good enough. You don't even need to say any words.
No, any words. The support is there. You could see that that person is there for you, supporting you.
Most definitely. You know. Before we go, I would like you to please share, you know, the contact details for CHOC, that's the Childhood Cancer Foundation of South Africa. And just quickly, if you could just tell us about some of the projects you're involved in, but your people's contact details first, please.
Our contact details, our offices are based at Saxon World. And all contact details is 011-486-1212.
Please repeat that for me.
011-486-1212.
Okay.
Yeah. And to our listeners out there, as on the 15th, it's International Childhood Cancer Day. We urge everyone to go out there. We're selling blue pens, like the one of that type pens, and you can maybe check them out on www.chok.org.za. We're selling pins for 20 rand, hot pins for 20 rands, and big hot badges for 10 rands, and chocolates for 10 rands. So we, as always say, that we call it Have a Heart with the Child with Cancer campaign. So please go out there and support us, and soon we'll be at the Trade Route Mall. I'm not sure when, but between Wednesday the 14th on Valentine's Day, or on the 15th. But we'll let Bibi know when we come
definitely.
Through.
And you're going to be doing awareness programs as well.
We'll be doing awareness programs as well, and we're bringing our merchandise. If you'd like to support us, you're welcome to do so. And any donation that needs to be done, you're welcome to do it.
Okay, great. Because like I said, JOC is a non-profit organization, the childhood hospital for Children's Hospital for Cancer. We've come to the end of our show. Zuki, you are a hero. Humaira, you are a star. And to all the children that are out there that are fighting cancer, just remember, cancer can be beaten. Do not lose hope. Cancer can be beaten. Our du'as are with you, and to the families and the mothers and the fathers that are out there with their children going through this journey, our du'as are with you, our prayers are with you, and you will get there. You will make it. I'm sitting in front of a survivor, and today she is going on awareness campaigns and inspiring people, because you know what? Don't ever lose hope. Yeah. The Almighty Allah is so great. Inshallah, next week we're going to talk about living healthy. You know, everyone's talking about eating healthy, looking good, exercise, but what better role model or what better model to follow than eating healthy the sunnah way? So we're going to be talking about sunnah diets, inshallah, with our very own Apa Zakira Ansar Mia from Radio Islam International. So that's my guest for next week, Saturday, inshallah. For myself, Bibi Aisha Lahe, and my engineer, Mikael Khan, have a great week ahead, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as, and may the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'as and fulfill your needs, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope.